Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills, stock up for a big weekend of basketball and wrestling. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, mobile today in Manhattan. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big Ten Hockey Tournament gets underway tonight with Penn State and Minnesota. Brian Tripp in just a few moments, the voice of Penn State Hockey. Then Amy Dash, CBS Sports Legal Analyst. Final half hour, Dana O'Neill from The Athletic on college basketball and the scandal that's going on. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Virginia miraculously beats Louisville.
Jerome's got to get it in. It's Hunter for three. You called it. A bank! It's open late, and Virginia wins number one and holding.
I mean, they're down four with a second to go, and they won. Unbelievable. Virginia wins it last night. Bucknell won last night. Now Sunday at 2 o'clock, they get Boston University in the Patriot semifinals. And the other half of the bracket is Colgate and Holy Cross in the other half of the bracket. So 2 o'clock on Sunday, 1:30 the airtime at Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong. And again, Sunday, 2 o'clock at Soika. Bucknell and Boston University in the Patriots semifinals. Big Ten quarterfinal is tonight, Penn State and Ohio State. 6:30 the tip-off. We're on beginning at 6 o'clock here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Also, hockey coming up tonight, Penn State, Minnesota. With that, we are joined now by the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lion men's ice hockey team, Brian Tripp. Brian, welcome. Great to hear you.
Great to be with you once again. It was quite the fun weekend at Pagula Ice Arena.
What has this is a three-game streak now? Did the win over Michigan State suddenly just kind of jumpstart like that winning feeling again?
Yeah, I think so. I think it helped to get the frustration out of the system, and then they came into this weekend and played consistent hockey. You saw great offense, great defense, and great goaltending. Really, I think for the first time since they were on that 11-game unbeaten streak earlier this year. So I think everything finally clicked. I know we've talked before, knew they had it in them somewhere, and with their backs against the wall, with a huge challenge against Minnesota, you sweep Minnesota for the first time in program history, and they got the job done. So kudos to the team, Coach Godowski and his staff for having them ready to go.
How have they done now with special teams of late?
Yeah, I thought the penalty kill was a big difference maker in this series. Minnesota has so much talent, although they've struggled on the power play this year. A team with NHL prospects up and down the lineup. There were a couple instances where Minnesota had a power play maybe to get back in the game Friday, at least give them a spark, a game they were never really in. And the same thing then on Saturday. And Penn State was great on the penalty kill. And I thought their power play, even though they only had one power play goal in the series, I thought it was really good as well. It set momentum. They had a goal or two right after a power play expired. So I thought special teams was a big difference. And we've talked about it. Penn State's power play is unique because they use three different lines that present three different unique challenges to the opponent. And then Penn State's penalty kill is exceptional because they're pretty deep in guys who are willing to go out there and block shots defensively, forwards that are willing to block shots, and they're very aggressive. And Nikita Pavlichev, amongst many, is one of the best penalty killers, I think, in the entire country because of his size, his length, and his ability to break things up. But he's not always going to put up flashy numbers, but Nikita Pavlichev defensively in the series kept Minnesota's top line, along with James Robinson and Sam Sternstein with him, to basically nothing. So he deserves a lot of credit for what happened this weekend as well.
The next part is, what about the back checking? What has the back checking meant to improving defense?
Yeah, I think that's a great observation, Steve. Obviously, it's a team that loves to score, so they're going to be up and on the attack. But when they back check, that's the consistent effort that Guy Gadowski's talking about. You saw it, I thought, all weekend from Brandon Biro across the board. He had a great series once again. Alex Limoges winning battles. When you're aggressive on the forecheck like Penn State is, sometimes the back-checking, I don't want to say it escapes the back of your mind, but it's something you really have to be committed to do. It sounds like an easy thing, and it's not. It's not. And they sold out, played a consistent game, so I thought that was a big part of their success defensively. It's not just your defensemen. It's your forwards that have to be a big part of keeping the opponent wide on the outside, keeping pucks away from Peyton Jones. He only saw 15 shots on Friday. That was a big part of the series, too.
The next part, too, is that when out in Nebraska, we watched the games. And to me, I thought Penn State was great on faceoffs.
Yeah, I think they won some timely faceoffs, which is really important. Numbers on the weekend actually favored Minnesota a bit, but it was the timely faceoff. So when you have that big penalty kill, that big power play, when you're at the end of a game and you're trying to get the puck out of your zone, winning faceoffs, I think it's more of a timely thing sometimes than the numbers indicate. And I thought they rose to the occasion when needed.
All right, now the next part is we did touch on the playoff format last week. Like, this wasn't working on a neutral site. It just flat out wasn't. Sometimes a fact of life. Now, Penn State ends up with a home weekend out of this. So how important is that going to be, the fact that they get to stay here?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the fan support's been tremendous, 74 straight sellouts. And then to play Minnesota here, you get this series this weekend, whether it's taking – a two-game sweep or two of three, and you punch your ticket as well to go to the NCAA tournament and regionals, which, since Penn State's hosting, they're automatically in Allentown if they make the NCAA tournament. So one may get them there, but two wins and a series win this weekend, a chance to go to the Big Ten semifinals, playing in front of your home fans, it's a huge boost. So Minnesota has to go all the way home. They're reeling. It was one of the hottest teams in the country coming into the weekend, and then turn around and come right back here. So you look at confidence and where Minnesota may be at coming into this weekend. Penn State still has a lot to play for, and I kind of liken the situation, Steve, to last year. Penn State accomplished a great feat, winning the Big Ten tournament, and then they came right back and played a great NCAA tournament game against Union. I think you can learn from that experience. This was a huge weekend this weekend. They accomplished something really special to pull off the sweep, get home ice, but now it's about coming back and doing it again. There's still big goals in front of the team, and this weekend's really, really important.
Anything about Minnesota surprise you now, watching them back-to-back games?
Yeah, the fact that they can't score. They have so much talent, and Penn State deserves a lot of credit for it.
They've got NHL guys all over their roster.
It's insane. I mean, they have the 8th overall pick in the draft, Casey Mittelstadt. Yeah. Leon Bristead has almost 100 career points, but only has 9 points all year this year. Tyler Sheehy led the Big Ten in scoring last year, and they don't have anyone with 30 points on the season. They're so deep, and they're so talented. The fact that they're 45th around that area, they're in the 40s in scoring nationally out of 60 teams. It's kind of baffling. And Penn State at home is averaging almost 4.5 goals per game.
Right.
I'm not sure if Minnesota can come in here and outscore Penn State. That's the big question to me.
Brian, appreciate it very much.
Steve, have fun in New York City. Best of luck.
That's Brian Tripp, play-by-play voice, Penn State men's ice hockey. A lot going on with Penn State this weekend. The ice hockey team setting up shop at the Pagola Ice Arena against Minnesota this weekend. Of course, Penn State basketball tonight. Third time this season they'll be taking on Ohio State, but much more on the line tonight. Tournament quarterfinal game from Madison Square Garden. Steve will be on with Dick Girardi live on the network and here on WKOK and on the WKOK app pregame at 6. And the tip will be at 6:30. Penn State wins tonight. They'll advance to the semifinals tomorrow afternoon. Championship of the tournament scheduled for 4:30 on Sunday in the Garden. And, of course, with Penn State Wrestling tomorrow and Sunday, it's the Big Ten Wrestling Championships, and they will be aired live on BTN on Sunday between 3 and 6. We invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. And when you do that, episodes will drop right to your smartphone and tablet. So subscribe on either Google Play, the Apple Podcast app, or Google Play. We also have 3 months of shows always archived on the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Amy Dash will replay the Amy Dash interview from earlier this week, the host of the Straight Aim podcast and CBS Sports legal analyst. Next half hour, Dana O'Neill, the college basketball senior writer for The Athletic, as we continue to talk hoops with you and head for the weekend on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Steve Jones Show heading for the weekend. News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey. Steve heading to Madison Square Garden covering Penn State hoops tonight. Big Ten quarterfinal. Penn State, Ohio State will have the pregame at 6. Steve and Dick Girardi with the call at 6:30. On News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app. Lots of interesting stuff happening over the past week or so in college basketball, so we were able to get a chance to speak with CBS legal analyst and host of the Straight Aim podcast, Amy Dash.
Well, obviously, this NCAA basketball probe actually began with a Securities and Exchange Commission series of allegations in Pittsburgh, which then led to, gee, what else do you know? So when
That's
you
exactly
see them
right.
when you see them release names along the way, players, coaches, and so forth, who's actually, what's the difference between being in, who would be in NCAA trouble, which I already know, versus who actually is in legal trouble based on the names we see?
Well, they've charged a bunch of assistant coaches, and they've also charged some a financial advisor and a runner for an agent. So, but are you talking about who could potentially face charges? Because I'm not even sure that the people that are facing charges committed crime. I'm still trying to figure out how this is going to go over in court, because it's really a very unique circumstance. They've never brought a case like this under the laws that they're bringing them under, some of which are meant for prosecuting corrupt politicians. So there's a big argument to be made that these merely are just NCAA violations and there were no federal crimes at all.
Right. And what's interesting to me as to how they laid it out is that there are a lot of layers to this. And you mentioned several of the layers: runners, AAU coach, agent, assistant coach, player. That part seems to have been, at least on the surface, thorough. What did you think of it?
Well, the AAU coach, Jonathan Brad Augustine, who they had originally charged, they've dropped all charges against him. Because right. he's cooperating, so I'm expecting that he will probably be testifying against some of these other characters. They had to drop a couple of charges against the Adidas executive because, and they didn't even do it as part of a plea deal, and he's not cooperating. They had to because they had brought charges that prosecutors realized probably wouldn't hold up in court. So now he's just facing one charge, and he could end up with probation. So we see a lot of the charges dropping off. However, on the flip side, a lot of the defendants tried to have all of the charges dismissed recently, and that was denied by a judge. So the judge thinks that there are victims here, the victim being the university. But my perspective is the university hasn't suffered a loss because the NCAA hasn't ruled that its teams would be ineligible or that there'd be a loss of scholarships or money yet. So I don't see how the charges can be brought so preemptively. But the government obviously has a different take, and they think that all these people were part of a conspiracy to defraud the university. And the legal theory behind that is they're saying that these coaches should have known that if they're taking money, they're violating the rules, and therefore they're putting the university at risk.
Right. But that's an NCAA rule. That's not the law.
Yeah. And what I had an episode of my podcast released today where I talk with Rick Pitino's lawyer about these very legal issues, and he's on board with the fact that the NCAA decides when to punish for what. So if you're criminalizing things that are leading to NCAA violations, well, then you're really leaving it up to the NCAA to decide what's criminal and what isn't, and that's really the whole problem with the government's theory.
you cover these issues all the time. We've seen at the beginning of the season was the first, quote, information dump. Then right after they released the top 16 seeds was the next information dump. Then it was last week. So by my thought, is right before the NCAA selection, we may see another one. But what, I mean, in your experience, Amy, what's the purpose behind doing this?
Well, somebody leaked those expense reports from the agent to Yahoo, and they shouldn't have, and people were surprised that it was leaked because these are small, this is like small beans compared to the information that they have, because even if you're talking about just the wiretaps alone, there's 3,000 hours over hundreds of days. So there's a massive amount of information, which right now is supposed to be under seal by the court, which is very, very serious if you're leaking confidential information that's been put under a protective order for sealing by the court. So whoever did that could get in big trouble.
Right. Amy, the original, as I started out, the original was a man in Pittsburgh, Securities and Exchange Commission, and to get a reduced sentence, what do you know? And I guess he wore a wire for a while. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, he was defrauding athletes, apparently. He was representing athletes and mismanaging and stealing their money. And when he was caught, he decided to go undercover.
Has his sentence been solved? And if so, how much, and if it was it reduced because of the information he gave?
He got a reduction. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that his may be still being worked out, but I honestly don't know what his sentence is. He's sort of an ancillary. He's an ancillary character. But what I am wondering is, I'm wondering if it was his idea to go undercover and give all these people up, or if the FBI was already on to the whole college basketball underground culture and they just needed somebody to be their mole.
All right, let me ask you this then. It's college basketball. Why is the FBI interested in it?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I think the FBI likes to obviously expose corruption and prosecute people who are breaking the law. But because this is such a unique case, we don't know if, in fact, any laws were broken. What they're trying to say is that there was fraud, that these coaches were engaged in schemes to defraud the university. I think the reason why they're bringing it is because the universities are, a lot of them are public, and so taxpayers are paying the salaries in part of some of these coaches or funding the scholarship. And so I think that's the reason why they're behind this at this juncture, is because they're saying that these universities have a lot at stake, and obviously if these coaches are using their positions of power and influence to not only break the rules but give unallowed benefits to different players, then who's going to suffer in the end if they're caught? The university, therefore the taxpayers are going to suffer. And so I think that's why they're trying to prosecute them with that.
Which then brings me to another part. Now, some of the amounts reported in that ledger sheet that I read, they're small. You and I both know it. Then there are others, like 73,000. The wiretap with Arizona, allegedly it's $100,000. Is this something the IRS needs to be interested in?
Potentially. But I think that things are going to play out first with the FBI. I'm surprised with John Miller that he hasn't been brought up on charges. I'm surprised with that Louisville coach who was apparently in a Las Vegas hotel room and was part of the exchange of money toward a recruit, that he hasn't been brought up on charges. So I'm wondering how many more coaches are on the wiretaps and why haven't they been charged yet? Because it seems that if Sean Miller was talking about the same thing that some of these other assistant coaches were talking about, which is passing money, then he's also trying to defraud the university. So why would they be brought up on honest services fraud and not him? The only thing I can think of is the coaches that were charged were actually taking money for themselves personally, whereas some of these other coaches, when you're talking about Louisville and Arizona and even Miami, and some people think Rick Pitino's involved, though there's no evidence with him, but when you're talking about passing money to recruits, the coaches themselves aren't actually taking the money. So that may be why no charges have been brought against them yet.
Finally, I know we have to let you go, and I appreciate this very much, but you are a CBS Sports legal analyst. Right. As I pointed out, Straight Aim Podcast, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Did you ever think there would be such a great need along the way for a sports legal analyst like there is now?
It's funny because I've been doing this for 3 years.
Yeah.
But I think that the scandals have just gotten bigger and bigger over the past year. And so I was actually working as a legal analyst, and maybe I'd get a call like once or twice a month. Sometimes there would be months when I wouldn't get a call, and then there'd be a big scandal like Deflategate with Tom Brady, and I'd be on the phone, you know, multiple times a month. But then it would die off, so it really comes in waves. But lately, it's just been one thing after another, and so that's when CBS gave me the title of their legal analyst, is when the whole, right before the whole Ezekiel Elliott thing scandal broke. And then right after that was the NCAA bribery scandal, so it's just nonstop. So no, I mean, I really just fell into it because I started covering mixed martial arts. And who would have thought that you'd need a legal analyst for mixed martial arts?
Amazing. Well, you do great work. We appreciate the time you gave us and the information you gave us to kind of guide everybody along as to what they're reading and seeing right now.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sean Carey here, Steve Jones Show. Steve on his way to Sunbury, on his way to Madison Square Garden from the Sunbury Motors Mobile Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key up on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Penn State and Ohio State, Chapter 3 tonight, Big Ten quarterfinals. Our airtime will be at 6, Penn State Sports Network. And Stephen Dick Girardi will have the play-by-play beginning at 6:30. All the winners today will advance to the Big Ten semifinals. That'll be tomorrow. Game scheduled at 2 and approximately 4:30. And 4:30 on Sunday will be the Big Ten tournament championship game. Of course, that team gets the automatic bid to March Madness. And the team that wins the Patriot League tournament will get the automatic bid to March Madness. And Lewisburg, the home of Lewisburg, got Bucknell, taking one step closer to that last night with an 83-78 win over number 8 seed in the tournament, Loyola Maryland. Although Bucknell going into last night's game with Avi Toomer, Bruce Moore, and Paul Newman, all three suspended for last night's game due to a violation of team rules. So we will find out as we get closer to Sunday whether those three will be back on the bench for the Bison as they take on Boston U. And that'll be a 2 o'clock tip Sunday in Lewisburg. Live coverage on Eagle 107 will start at 1:30 with Doug Birdsong and head coach Nathan Davis. So the Bucknell Bison have now advanced and have improved to a record of 23-9. Boston University last night knocked out Lehigh 88-82. Great night for Zach Thomas, notching his 14th double-double of the season, 27 points, 11 rebounds. Kimball McKenzie was, again, hot from beyond the arc, hitting 4 three-pointers, 18 points. Stephen Brown added 16, and such balance again from Nana Falland, chipping in with 14 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 block shots, and earning some airtime last night with Doug Birdsong on the postgame over on Eagle 107. The Bison sank 27 of 38 free throws last night. And Loyola wraps up the season with only 9 wins on the campaign. So we'll see how Bucknell does on Sunday in the Patriot League semifinals. And again, live coverage will start on Eagle 107 beginning at 1:30 on Sunday. The other semifinal actually will happen before Bucknell's game. That'll be a noon tip on Sunday, Holy Cross at Colgate, and then Bucknell-Boston U at 2 on Eagle 107. Sticking with basketball, I guess this could qualify as the sports bozo of the day, Cleveland Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith. We heard that he got a one-game suspension, but now we know why. It turns out J.R. Smith threw a bowl of soup at assistant coach Damon Jones, who is a former Cavs player. He has been with the organization since 2014. Smith is back with the team today, according to head coach Ty Lue. So he is back in the starting shooting guard position as Cleveland will be hosting the Denver Nuggets tomorrow night. But how about the Sixers last night? Great win over Cleveland, 108-97. And Smith served the suspension and did not play last night. Rodney Hood was on the floor in place of Smith. He scored 11, 5 rebounds, 5 assists against the 76ers. And we also shared with you yesterday the heartbreaking news that Jim Kelly's cancer has returned, and the Hall of Fame pro football quarterback is going to have reconstructive surgery on his jaw to treat that recurrence of oral cancer. He made mention of that to a TV station in Buffalo today. The surgery is going to take place in New York City later this month. It will involve taking part of Kelly's fibula and blood vessels from his leg. Kelly says the procedure will improve his quality of life, but unclear whether he will undergo radiation and chemo treatments. Kelly first announced close to 5 years ago that cancer had appeared in the upper jawbone, had surgery to remove tumors, but then found again less than a year later in the spring of 2014. Kelly underwent weeks of chemo and radiation that year after being declared cancer-free in September 2014. Kelly is now 58. He played for Buffalo from 86 to 96 and appeared in 4 consecutive Super Bowls. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2002. And former Penn State running back Saquon Barkley shattering expectations at the Pro Football Scouting the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Ran an official 4.4040, posted a 41-inch vert, and crushed the bench press yesterday with 29 reps. So pushing up 225 pounds 29 times. So big day for Saquon Barkley, as the running backs have been working out today. Quarterbacks and wide receivers will be on the field tomorrow in Indianapolis. Also in Indy is Pittsburgh Steelers football beat writer Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He will be joining us Monday afternoon at 4:06. We'll get a scouting combine recap from Jerry D. And also, as we get closer to the start of a new year for the National Football League, and of course that means free agency then will kick in, we'll get Jerry D's thoughts on what the Steelers will be doing and see if the black and gold's closer to locking up a long-term deal with running back Le'Veon Bell. So Jerry will join us on Monday, and we will have more college basketball talk on Tuesday. A little bracketology from Jerry Palm from CBS Sports as we look forward to that. And if you miss any of our shows live on WKOK, don't forget you can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, available on iTunes, Apple Podcast App, and Google Play. And 3 months of shows we always have archived for you at stevejonesshow.com. About a week or so ago, we had a chance to talk with Penn State alum and outstanding college basketball senior writer for The Athletic, Dana O'Neill.
Can I start with the Louisville thing? I mean, you've done a lot of work following that over time. The appeal was denied, and they'll let, you know, the banners are down, the wins have been stripped. In the end, how effective are taking away wins, banners, and things like that, in your opinion?
You know, I waffle on that. I understand what people always like to say, like, well, I saw the game happen, and I saw all of that. I get that to an extent. But I also do believe that there is a serious embarrassment involved with it. I mean, I was there when Memphis was at the Final Four in 2008, and I remember it, and it occurred. So it's not like they weren't there. I understand all of that. But the major embarrassment of it all, the stain of it all, the punishment just basically tells, you know, I think it does tell people this was sort of beyond unacceptable. This was horrible and heinous, and they needed to be punished. And, you know, you realize they did that on top of everything else, on top of the postseason ban that Louisville already had put on itself and other things. So I think it comes with a sting, especially at a place like Louisville, where there's such pride in the program and in the history of the program, and let's face it, such a rivalry with a school down the street that hasn't taken its banner down. So that also, I think, factors in Louisville.
Yeah, there's no question about that, because I remember Dick ran into Rick Pitino one time at Churchill Downs, and he was wearing this bright red jacket, and he said, "Why are you wearing that?" He says, "It's just to make the Kentucky people mad."
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's really that simple. How close have you tried to follow the FBI case or cases? And if so, what kind of road is everybody going down right now?
Well, I've certainly paid a lot of attention to it. I can't say that, you know, I know it very well. I mean, I thought Pete Thamel at Yahoo Sports had a pretty enlightening story this past week, talking about the number of players and coaches that could be implicated in this thing, and not necessarily in what the FBI has already laid bare back in September, but in the ensuing investigations of Andy Miller, a big agent in college basketball, of his files and where that could lead. You know, I guess my two questions are, how long is this going to take? Because, you know, neither the wheels of justice nor the wheels of the NCAA move terribly quickly. So how quickly will it be before we actually can see people's names and things like that, and how they've been implicated? Because that's going to be a big deal. I mean, are we just going to simply vacate the 2017-2018 season in 10 years? Are we going to know something before that? But I think there are probably a lot of nervous people in college basketball right now, or at least they very well should be. Andy Miller is a big name in college basketball and always has been. And if there's information in any of those documents, it could be very damning to people. I don't doubt that for a heartbeat. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at some point, I don't know when, things will change.
And again, when you're talking about Andy Miller, just so everyone understands, it's not that Andy Miller is implicated by the FBI.
Right.
It's that what happened, that if there's certain information in Andy Miller's documents or in his computer somewhere, it would then lead to NCAA violations and not federal law violations.
It could, I mean, it could. Who knows? I mean, I the FBI certainly could go back in if the same sort of thing has gone in. But yeah, I think the NCAA implications in this are. I think I've always said that the potential NCAA violations, some of them, are almost not bigger, isn't the right word, but more impactful. I can't fathom that anyone is still going to go to jail for this. I mean, I can't see a guy like, what are you in for, paying a basketball player? I mean, that's really going to happen? Like, that's going to happen? I don't think so.
Right.
But the NCAA is basically going to be given everything that they've ever wanted that they can't get because they don't have subpoena power. They're going to have wiretaps and documents and all sorts of things that they've never been able to get their hands on. And I have visions of them just like, you know, mad professors sitting in their offices waiting to get their hands on all of this, because then you've got NCAA violation on top of NCAA violation on top of NCAA violation, and then it's going to get really interesting.
All right. As for this particular season, you know, seasons are marathons. So there are moments where teams with one and dones look great. There are moments where older teams look great. And then we don't know how it's going to shake down. So in this marathon season, where are we right now?
I think we are in what I call the doldrums of mid-February. Like, March is so close. Like, oh, my God, we're almost there. We're almost there. But we have to slog through these last couple of weeks. So I think what we've seen the last 2 weeks is just a couple of teams not hitting the wall, but just sort of like, oh my God, is the regular season over yet? So they're losing games that we sort of would not expect them to lose. But I don't think that they're necessarily indicative of the type of team that they are. I believe eventually the cream tends to rise, more or less. You know, and I also believe in experience. I do think that no matter how good these young players are, experience has proven to be the most important factor come March. So, you know, I think teams like Duke and Kentucky might get themselves in a better position that they've been more consistently or whatever, but I still trust teams like Villanova more. I just do.
And justifiably so. They've proven it on the big stage as to what they can do. Villanova and the Big East will go second in Madison Square Garden. The Big Ten gets there first. They had to compress the schedule to get there, but they're going to get there first. How intrigued are you by the reception that the Big Ten gets in the Garden, since this is the first time through? Because when Penn State played Michigan in there in, what, 13 or whatever it was, the attendance was great. When Ohio State played Minnesota there this time, the attendance was no better than mediocre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been questioning that decision all along since Jim Delaney made it. to me, to reconfigure your entire basketball season and then roll the dice as to what impact it has to for the teams when they get into the NCAA tournament, you don't know what that week off is going to do for them. I think it's a really big risk, and I'm not sure what the reward is. I mean, I guess theoretically, people will flock to the Garden to watch Big Ten basketball, but, you know, if you're a Michigan or a Michigan State fan and you don't happen to live around here, aren't you going to save your money for when they go into the NCAA tournament as opposed to, like, spending a lot of it? As you know, it costs a lot to go to New York.
Yeah.
To go there for a few days. And look at the teams that are at the top, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Purdue. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. And, you know, and anybody who thinks Rutgers and Maryland is bringing anybody this season has not been paying a lick of attention. You know, just stop. So I don't know what to expect. I'm going to be there, and I'm as curious as anybody to see how full the place is.
With you for a few moments here on the Steve Jones Show, WKOK Friday edition, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Lots of basketball, Big Ten wrestling this weekend. While you're watching it, enjoy your favorite beverages, stock up on snacks, and so much more from Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. And their specials include Natural Light 30 6-packs, Natural Ice 30 packs, $13.99, and Trog's Nugget Nectar 24-pack bottles, $42.95. The special's good till Tuesday at Brewer's Outlet on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Well, Wisconsin gave number two seed in the tournament, Michigan State, a run, but falling short in the Big Ten tournament quarterfinals this afternoon. Final score just a few moments ago, Michigan State 63, Wisconsin 60. And earlier today, Michigan 77, Nebraska 58. At one point, Nebraska was 1 of 19 shooting. So Michigan State moves on, and Michigan moves on, too, to the semifinals tomorrow in the Big Ten tournament. Two games remaining tonight. You got Penn State, Ohio State meeting for the third time this season. That's a 6:30 tip. We'll have live coverage with Steve Jones and Dick Girardi from Madison Square Garden starting a little over an hour from now at 6 on WKOK, and also available on our WKOK app. Final game of the night tonight from MSG will be Rutgers against number 3, Purdue. Saquon Barkley, impressive at the combine. Shattering expectations, ran an official 4.40 40-yard dash, posting a 41-inch vert, and yesterday crushed the bench press with 29 reps of 229 pounds. So the running backs have taken center stage at the scouting combine. Tomorrow it'll be the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. Bucknell on Sunday, they've got Boston University, one half of the Patriot League semifinals. Live coverage on Eagle 107 will start at 1:30 from Soika. Doug Birdsong will talk to head coach Nathan Davis, and then the play-by-play at 2. And, of course, at that time, we'll find out one of the teams that will be going into the Patriot League championship game, which will be Wednesday night. And hopefully for the Orange and Blue, will be at home, since they're the number one seed in the conference in the tournament. So as long as Bucknell's winning, you can catch them live on Eagle 107. We'll catch Steve and DJ live a little over an hour from now from Madison Square Garden as Penn State continues their quest for more postseason action. Jerry Dulac with an NFL scouting combine recap. He'll join us on the show Monday at 4:06. We look forward to that. I'm Sean Carey. Have a great weekend. Steve Jones Show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.